Okay, so yesterday we tried to lay the foundation for the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. I just want to deviate from the path for a short while, hopefully for a few minutes now, and then we'll get right back on track because I think there's something that's relevant to our sugya. I'm not sure if it sheds a tremendous amount of light or even any light on the main sugya, but I feel like I don't want to overlook it. So let's do it now, and then we'll move back onto the track of the main sugya of Kavod HaBrios. So in terms of the case of our Gemara, where we say Hai Tzur B'mei Rabbanan, we say that if you have a Talmud Chacham who has a court case, right, the idea of Sadusa, he knows Edus, Vizila be Milsa Lameza be Dayan Bezuter Mine. It's embarrassing to him to go, or it's disgraceful to him to go to a court of a lesser judge, Lasu de Kamei Lo Lezel. He doesn't have to go. And we have a Mishnah that we learn it from Ashava Saveda, that he doesn't have to return the lost object. So we learn from the fact that he doesn't have to return the lost object that he also doesn't have to go. What's the tzushtel? What's the fact that we learn one from the other? Because there's just as there is a hefsid mamon to the person whose lost object not returning. You go in the street, you find, like we gave the example yesterday, you find this large box of Hanes ladies' undergarments. Right, so it's a little bit disgraceful for a Talmud Chacham to go around schlepping this big box of undergarments around the city till he finds the person who lost. It's worth $500 or whatever. Okay, so the person he's not mechuyev to give the guy the $500 if it's disgraceful to him. So the guy is basically losing out on $500 because of this guy's Kavod HaTorah or Kavod HaBrios, as the case may be. So too over here, the guy knows Edus, and this fellow stands to lose a lot of money because he knows that this fellow is owed the money, and he's going to come to Beis Din and he's going to testify that the guy gets his money. So the guy is going to lose the money because he doesn't have to disgrace himself in front of his this other dayan. So that's how we make the comparison to learn that Kavod HaBrios is doche dine mamonis, and then we say it's not doche iser vehet. Okay, so I just wanted to discuss what comes up in the Ritva over here, which is what if he wants to do it anyway? Is he allowed to? So the Ritva comments as follows: Pirish, Lishna delo lezel. It says, "Don't go." Right? What could it have said? Could have said, "Ein tsarich." Right? Lo bo'i. Doesn't have to say lo lezel. Don't go. So says the Ritva, the fact that it says don't go is mashma shafilu rotze lelech eimo lelech. Even if he wants to go, he shouldn't. Ve'emo limchol kavodo bekach levazos torah so. He is not supposed to be mochal on his kavod in order to disgrace his learning. V'yafagav di'ikab seyded the high idea. And then he spells out what we just brought up over there when it says that the guy's going to lose money. So it says, he's not allowed to go, just as we find by Ashava Saveda that he's putter from returning it. So the Ritva Shita is, you're not even allowed to be mochel on your kavod under these circumstances, and that goes back to what we said a couple of weeks ago from the Turei Evan. He's quoting, elaborating on the Shita of the Rivash, that when it comes to a public disgrace, when it comes to some level of public humiliation, there is no din of mechila on kavod, right? You're only allowed to be mochel on your kavod in private, in matters which are not disgraceful. But when it comes to public matters, we never ask the Talmud Chacham to be mochel on his kavod, even though he's technically allowed to, because we don't allow a disgrace to the Torah in public. So that seems to be the Shita of the Ritva as well. And he says, but what about Ashava Saveda? Ashava Saveda, we do allow the guy to volunteer. So what's the reason for that? Why are you allowed to volunteer to return a lost object if it's beneath your dignity to do so? So he gives a very interesting answer. He says, Shiny Hasam, De'ika Kama Talmid Chachamim, She'osin Kaim Bish Shelohem. Right. He says, there are some Talmid Chachamim who would do the same with theirs. What does that mean? Right. If it was their own big box of undergarments, then they would schlep it around because they don't want to lose $500. So therefore, since they would do it for their own money, they are allowed to then volunteer to do it with other people's money as well. That's the way of that's the Ritva's way of looking at it. Okay, so that is the sheet of the Ritva, that you're not allowed to volunteer, but you're also allowed to volunteer when it comes to Hashavas Aveda. You're not mechuyev to volunteer to return the lost object, but you're allowed to. And the reason for that is because plenty of Talmidei Chachamim, when it comes to their own money, they'll run around and make themselves look a little bit bad in order to earn a little bit of money. So therefore, when it comes to other people's money, it's considered okay to do the same. It's a little strange, no? First of all, would this guy show up to a court case if it was his court case? Here we're talking about a guy who knows Eidus. So are we to understand from the Ritva that a guy wouldn't show up to his own court case if he was going to lose the same amount of money that this fellow's going to lose? Ah, so then he brings in, the Ritva brings in the Ramban, that he could, this goes back to one of our original sugyas, that you can have a shaliach, or you can have the Beis Din come and take your testimony down, or whatever it is, and that way you don't have to stand in front of this dayan and be embarrassed. But Lemaisa, we don't have a similar way of doing things when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, although we'll see that we do. It's just not as gishmak for the Talmud Chacham. So therefore, we don't tell him he has to go. So even if he was going to do the same thing for himself, we wouldn't force him to go to court. We would let the Beis Din come to him. That's what we say over here. Okay. But we still need to figure out a little bit what's the chiluk that we're making between the case of going to court, where we say that not only does he not have to go, but he's not allowed to go, and the case of returning the lost object, where we say he is allowed to return it, even though it's a little bit disgraceful for him. That is the shita of the Ritva. Now, what is the shita of the Rambam is not 100% clear over here. It's right at the beginning of Hilchos Eidus, because the first thing the Rambam writes about Hilchos Eidus is the chiyuv to go and testify if you know Eidus. Right? We say, he quotes in Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph of Hilchos Eidus, right? O Ra'ah, O Yada, right? Who ate? O Ra'ah, O Yada, Im Lo Yagid V'Nasa Avono. That there's an Isser to not go and tell your Eidus in court. Then the Rambam says, Hayah Ha'eid Chacham Gadol. Let's say this Eid is a big Talmud Chacham. And the Beis Din was less than him. It was not a terrible Beis Din. It was a perfectly normal Beis Din. But, this guy was an Adam Gadol Admaod, and here you have a Dayan, who's a very nice rabbi. Right? He's a nice rabbi. He knows Chosh and Mishpat pretty well. So it's a disgrace for this big Talmud Chacham to go testify in front of this particular Dayan. The asay of Kavodat Torah is greater. V'yesh lo lihimana. What does that mean? You could say that it sounds like he could go if he wants. I could see both sides of this one. Meaning, what could it have said? Could have said Mutter lihimana, ein sarich leilech, or it could have said ein oyacho leilech. It's not a great, super clear lashon of the Rambam. When I read the Rambam, I thought it meant yesh lo lihimana meant that he should refuse to go. He should refuse. Meaning afal pichein, if he's mochel on his kavod. Meaning, what would the Ritva say if he's mochel on his kavod and he goes? Is he doing an avera? He shouldn't go. He shouldn't go. What if he goes? Is there any consequences to his actions? No, but he did the wrong thing. So Rambam's saying, I think the same thing as the Ritva. Yesh lo lihimana. He shouldn't go. The proper thing is to not go. If he's mochel and he goes, okay, he went. We're not going to shoot him. But, sof, we don't want him to go. And we're telling him, don't go. And I'll show you the contrast, or you may have seen it, the contrast between this Rambam and the Rambam in Hilchos Gzeilah V'Aveda.
Right. Then he just throws in Eidus Mammon versus Eidus Isser, as we know. Okay. So the Rambam Nichlas Gzeila V'Aveda. So that is Perek Yud Aleph. So the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Gimel writes, Matza Sako Kupa Im Hayachacham Ozakein Mechubad Shein Darko Lito Kelim Elu Biyado. So he's a Zakein. I'm sorry, he's a Chacham. Or he's a Zakein Mechubad, meaning so the Rambam is Mechalik, said that not all the Rishonim hold this way. When the Gemara says, who's Pater from Hashavas Aveda, so some say Zakein Ve'ena Lefi Chvodo. So what does the Zakein mean in that case? Does it mean an old person? Or does it mean a person who's a Talmud Chacham? So some Rishonim learn it just means a Talmud Chacham. So Rambam here clearly holds it's both. It's a Talmud Chacham, or if you're an elderly person who normally is treated with respect. Right? So that's a little bit of a chilek. So, She'ein Darko Lito Kelim Elo. It's not normal for this guy to walk around with these things in his hand. Eino Chayev Lihitapel Bahen. Doesn't have to deal with it. So how do you decide whether or not this is beneath you? Right? Let's say you're a big Talmud Chacham, and you walk down the street and you find a pouch, you know, one of those, I don't know, anybody ever been to the diamond district in the city? Right? So they have pouches, right? A lot of pouches with a lot of diamonds in them. So they special things to carry the diamonds in, I think. Could be making that up, but I think I was there a couple times. I think I remember seeing like that when they transport them in certain types of things, whatever. So he finds, clearly he knows there's diamonds inside. So a person who walks down the street holding one of those pouches, you know, he wants to be inconspicuous, obviously doesn't want to get robbed, but he's clearly holding something very chashuv, and it's not disgraceful for anyone to be holding a pouch full of diamonds. Right? So the Talmud Chacham would not think, maybe it's beneath my kavod because I'm not a diamond dealer. Like, diamond dealers should be dealing with diamonds. Why should I be dealing with diamonds? I'm a Gemara learner. Right? I should be holding a Gemara, not a diamond. So I think most Talmid Chacham would be like, no, this is it's a nice little carryable case and nothing wrong with it, and therefore I'll take it. You know, you're not gonna think I'm holding a briefcase. Ah, briefcase means I'm a businessman, right? So I'm not a businessman, I'm a rabbi. So why should I have to hold a briefcase? I think everybody can agree, like holding a briefcase is a fairly normal thing to do. You don't have to feel embarrassed to hold a briefcase. Right? Let's say he finds somebody's Dora the Explorer lunchbox, right? So maybe the Talmud Chacham doesn't want to walk around holding a Dora the Explorer lunchbox. You know, it's his kids already have kids of their own. He's not interested in any more lunchboxes. He did lunchboxes 20 years ago. You know, he was Yotze. So he doesn't want to do lunchboxes anymore. So maybe that's not so becoming. How do you decide? How do you decide what's beneath you? So the Rambam says, I'll tell you how to decide. It's very simple. If it was yours, what would you do? If it was your Dora the Explorer lunchbox, and it was for your kid, and you knew your kid was going to be happy if you brought it home, and your kid was going to be sad if you didn't bring it home, so what do? I mean, I can tell you the answer, but you don't say this is above my cover, beneath my cover, whatever. The point is that's how you make the cheshbon, right? That's the Rambam says. V'omed es daito, he has to do an umdana ilu hayu shelo. If this would be mine, would I have brought it home? Right? But that's how you have to make the cheshbon. It says, and obviously the flip side, right? If he would not be mochan his kavod, afilo yishalo, kach b'shel chavero, eino chayev lahachzir. So too, when you are taking home your friend's thing, your eino chayiv lahachzir. So what's the lashon of the Rambam over here? Eino chayiv lihitapel bohen. Eino chayiv lahachzir. It's not the same lashon that we find by going to court, where he says, what's the lashon again of the Rambam? Ein lo leilech? Yesh lo limana? Right? It's eino, he should say, eino chayiv leilech. not yesh lo limana. So you see, back to back, when he says eino chayev lahachzir, and I think it becomes even clearer in halacha. Right, what's the next halacha? That halacha yud zayin haholeich b'derech hatov v'hayashar. If you consider yourself to be going on a correct path and you like to do things beyond the letter of the law, you have to return the lost object no matter what, even if it's beneath your dignity. So the Rambam says clearly, you should volunteer. So, again, I'll point out, there is, among the Gedolei Achronim, there are those who do not learn the Rambam like this, but I'm curious to know why they don't. The Rambam, Lefi Aniyas Daiti, is saying that when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, he uses a lashon that you're not chayev to return it, but there is an inyan of Lefnim Mishuris Adin here, and you should do it. If you consider yourself to be walking the good path, you should return the lost object, even if it's beneath your kavod. Masha'en Kain, in Ilchus Eidus, he doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't say that there is an inyan lefnim mishur asadin to go and be meyed. He doesn't say that there's an inyan lefnim mishur asadin to go to court yourself and not to have a shlich beis din come and take your statement. Let me know, he doesn't really talk about that. But l'maiso, by Hashavas Aveda, he says there is. So it seems to me that the Rambam agrees with the Ritva, that when it comes to Eidus, you don't go. When it comes to Hashavas Aveda, you can, and perhaps even you should, return it. What does he differentiate from the Ritva? He has a different criteria. The Ritva says, why is it mutter for you to return it? Why is it mutter for you to do so if it's beneath your kavod? The answer is because sometimes you do for the same for yourself. The Rambam holds, no, that's not why it's mutter. That's why you must. If you would do the same thing for yourself, by definition, it's not below your kavod. Right? If it's beneath your dignity to do it, then you're not chayev, says the Rambam. Then it's lifnim mishuras adin. The Ritva says, it's always lifnim mishuras adin if it's beneath your dignity. But since you might stoop lower in order to return your own lost object, so too you should do that for somebody else. Right? There's a... whatever. It's a slight chilek, but I think it's an important chilek in terms of how they define beneath one's dignity. Now, there is the shita of the Rush. The Rush in Perek Elam Metzius. So the Rush writes that he thinks that it's usur for a Talmud Chacham to be mochel on his kavod, even if he wants to. There's no lifnim mishuras adin in this case. Right, so what does the Rush say? So he says, if you want to return the lost object, that's a zilzul to the Kavod HaTorah, you're not allowed. I want to go lifnim mishuras adin, says the Rush. There is a lifnim mishuras adin over here. You want to know what it is? It's the story of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rab Yossi. Do like Rabbi Shmuel b'Rab Yossi. So what on earth is that? Anybody know what that is? So it's a cute story. So the Gemara, if you want to look it up, the Gemara, I didn't put it on the Makaris, but if you want to look it up, the Gemara is found in on Daf Lamed Amid Beis, so in Bab Metzia. So the Gemara tells a story of Rabbi Shmuel b'Rab Yossi. There was a fellow who was schlepping a lot of wood on top of his animal, and you know, there's a mitzvah we call Prika Uti'ina. Right? You guys know what that mitzvah is? That if you see a guy, let's give the modern version of it, he's about to get into the car and he's packing for Camp Morashah, wherever he's going. So sometimes it's quite an avoda to schlep the stuff into the car. So you see him, you know, trying to load up and schlep everything into the trunk. So there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to go help him. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa to go help him and load it up. Right? If he can't do it himself, you got to help him out. So here's this fellow. He sits down next to Rabbi Shmuel b'Rab Yossi. And that's the mitzvah of te'ina. Prika means when you're unloading the donkey. The donkey is wobbling under the load, so you got to take it off of him. You got to make his life a little easier. So you got to help him out with that. So you help the guy. So the guy needs help loading up his trunk. So he says to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, look, I have a whole bunch of wood over here, firewood, building wood, I don't know what it was, and I need you to help me load this up. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is a big Talmud Chacham, he's wearing his rabbinic garb or whatever, he doesn't really think it's so appropriate for him to be then schlepping stuff and helping load the car. So what does he say to the guy? He says, look, how much is this wood worth? He says, okay, it's worth, I forgot the exact number in the Gemara, that's it's worth $100. So he says, okay, look, here's $100. I'll buy the wood off of you. So you don't have to schlep it. This guy's like, all right, deal. Gives him $100. Then the fellow takes the money. He's like, enjoy your wood. And then Rabbi Shmuel realizes he doesn't want to schlep the wood. So he's mafker it. He makes it hefker. Anybody wants to come and get it, can come and get it. The guy hears this. He's like, all right, I'll get it. So he's zocha from the hefker. And then he says back to Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, you mind helping me load this onto my donkey? So to make a long story short, he realizes that the guy's just going to keep doing this and he's going to be out a lot of money and he's still not going to accomplish his goal. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says to him, I'm going to buy it from you again and I'm going to make it hefker for everyone except for you. So the guy takes the deal and he walks away from it. He made a lot of money there. So the Gemara asks Akasha, are you allowed to do such a thing? Can you make it hefker for everyone except for somebody? That's not hefker. So the Gemara answers, nah, he was just didn't want the guy to keep cheating him. So he said that, but it's not really true. You're not allowed to do that. So, okay, Lamaisa, the Rosh says you wanna be so frum and go lefim mishuras adin. The answer is not to disgrace the covet of the Torah. The answer is to put your money where your mouth is, and you pay the money. So you find a lost object. You find the guy's box of ladies' undergarments, and you don't want to schlep it around. So you figure out it's worth $500. So there's no shame in going to this fellow's house and handing him $500. Saying, look, I saw your lost object. I really didn't feel like schlepping it around. By the time we're going to get back there, it's for sure going to be taken by somebody else. So here's $500. You're allowed to do that. So that's what the Rosh says. That's the Lifnim Mishuras Adin when it comes to Kavodat Torah. You're not allowed to just walk through the streets with a big box of women's undergarments just because you think you want to be extra frum. So he says that you're being mezalzel in the Kavodat Torah and you're not allowed to do that. That's the Shita of the Rosh against the Rambam, against the Ritva. You're not allowed to return it. Okay. Those are the Shitas in the Rishonim that we have. And in terms of the Shita of the Rambam, even though I said that I think the Rambam agrees with the Ritva, there's a sefer called Torah Schaim, is written in Bells, before Bells was Bells. It was written in the 1600s in Bells. I forgot the author's name, but it was pre-Belzer Hasidim, but it was in the same place. So he has one of the more famous early commentaries on Maseches Shavuos. And he writes that he takes it as a davar pashut, that the Rambam's lashon of yesh lo lihimana, the fact that he didn't write chayiv lihimana, is a raya that the Rambam holds that you are allowed to go to court if you so choose. And he says, what's the raya that I'm right? The Rambam writes in Ilchos Gzeil Vaveda that there's an inyan of lifnim mishuras hadin to go to the court and to go return the lost object. So it must be that the Rambam holds the same thing over here. What would Mishnah? Why would we differentiate between being mezalzel yourself to return a lost object and being mezalzel yourself to go to a court of a dayan who's lesser than you? So it must be that the Rambam holds the same thing in both cases. And then he goes one step further, and he says that even if you say according to the Rush, even you say according to the Rush, who says you're not allowed to return it, over here the Rush would agree. The Rush would agree that you're allowed to go to the Beis Din, and you're not allowed to, and you're not allowed to say, oh, no, I'm never going to be mochel on my covet, and you can't tell the guy it's forbidden to be mochel on your covet. You have to say that you're chayiv to go, but it's mutter to be mochel on your covet and go to the Beis Din. Why? Because over there the Rush only says you can go with Nimishur Sadin in a different way. So therefore you're not allowed to take the route which disgraces the Kavod HaTorah. You're allowed to pay the money instead of returning the lost object. That's Lifnim Mishuras Sadin. But over here there is no such Lifnim Mishuras Sadin. And therefore it's mutter for you to go Lifnim Mishuras Sadin and go testify in the court. So that's the shita of the Toras Chaim. He holds that the Rambam, even though he disagrees with the Rush in Hilchos Aveda, he says even the Rush would agree that it's mutter to go to the court and to testify in a lesser Beis Din than the Talmud Chacham, because that would be lifnei Mishura Sadeh. So even assuming, first of all, it's a weird svar. What do you mean? Since there exists a lifnei mishura hadin option of paying the money, there's no lifnei mishura hadin option over here paying the money. There's still the option. What do you mean? I don't understand this svar. You understand my question? Like, what do you mean? There's no lifnei mishura hadin? There is. You know that the guy owes him $500. So the same $500 that the lost object was worth, go to the fellow and say, listen, you're going to lose your case because I'm not coming to testify in front of that amaretz. You know. So I'm not coming to testify in that guy's court. You're going to lose your case. I feel bad. Here's $500. You can do that. Why not? So, well, I mean, you hear the chilek, no? What's the chilek? Yeah, so A, maybe he wouldn't win. This is very, very posh. And B, it's a little different. Meaning, in the case of Hashavas Aveda, I'm keilu returning the Aveda to you. I'm just buying it for myself. The fact that I don't keep it is irrelevant. Right? When I give you the $500, I'm like introducing a totally outside variable into the case. Like, would that be called lifnim mishuras adin of giving edus? That's not lifnim mishuras. That's like a separate thing. I decided I feel bad for you, so I want to give you a matana. Okay, so I give you a matana. You hear? So it's like not. So you could say that's what the Toras Chaim is thinking, that I come to testify, you make $500. I don't come to testify, you lose $500. So I feel bad, so I want to come over to you privately and give you $500. Is that ki'ilu I testified on your behalf? No, not really. It's just like I feel bad, so I decided to give you $500. It's not the same thing. So therefore, it could be that he says that's not called a lifnim mishuras adin option when it comes to going to testify. So therefore, it says the Toras Chaim, everyone holds, the Rambam, the Rush, hold that you can and perhaps even should go and testify, even if it's beneath your kavod, just like the Rambam writes, that you should return the lost object, even though it's beneath your kavod, lifnim mishuras adin. Again, I don't believe that's the pshat in the Rambam, for the reasons that I outlined. And even if that would be the pshat in the Rambam, it's not the pshat in the Ritva. That we know. Right? So even if the Toras Chatas is... Toras Chatas, sorry, that's the Ramah in your day. Even if the Toras Chaim is correct, even if the Toras Chaim is correct, that the Rambam holds you're allowed to go volunteer, we know for a fact that the Ritva holds you're not allowed to go and volunteer. And the Ritva says, I think the Ra'ah agrees with him. Right? I think he says that. That the Ra'ah agrees with him. And so we still need to explain that Shita regardless. But Lefianias Daiti, that's also the opinion of the Rambam. So how do you explain the Ritva? Also, by the way, if you look in, I think I put it on that new sheet, the Tshuva Sered Vaz has a tiny little tshuva where he quotes, I didn't give you the whole tshuva, but he quotes the Ritva, not by name. And he just says he thinks he's wrong. So he says, it's a general klal, Torah, you know, it's your Torah, and you have the right to be mochel on your Torah. So what's the problem? And lechor, it's a good kasha, but the Ritva is not bothered by it, because we said before, the Ritva holds that we're dealing with a zilzul to kavod haTorah. You don't have the right to be mochel on your disgrace, because your disgrace is the disgrace of the Torah. And therefore, for you to go to the Beis Din in front of a lesser Talmud Chacham would be a disgrace to the Torah itself versus a disgrace to you personally. That's the chilek that the Ritva is making, lechor the Rambam as well. So what's the pshat? I think you say a very balabatish chilek here. Right? What's the chilek? That we're talking about it, what's called a zilzul to kavod haTorah and what's not called a zilzul to kavod haTorah. Right? To go and testify in a lesser court So that would be called an objective zilzul to kavanat Torah. What's objective versus subjective about it? The world will look lowly upon that. People will say, oh, this guy is supposed to be Mr. Super Chashuv and Mr. Great, and he has to go like an ordinary schnook, and he has to go testify in front of regular dayanim. So what's the big toelis in being a Gadol Torah? What's so chashuv about becoming a major Talmud Chacham? We treat the major Talmud Chacham like we treat everybody else. He has to, you know, there's no covet in that. Right? You think if there's a regular, you know, when I was a kid, there was a show, The People's Court. Right? Now they had other ones too, but you ever heard of The People's Court? So it was a guy, Judge Wapner, and that was the original, you know, probably not. What? Ed Koch, the mayor himself, whew, Valdik. So Ed Koch, also Zichron Levi, I think Wapner's probably Nifter already also, and Ed Koch is Nifter. So Lamaisa, they had the People's Court, and these people with the Small Claims Court, they would go and they would argue their case. They wanted to be on TV, and what did Nami, I think they had many reincarnations of different court shows where people would go and make their claims in Small Claims Court. So imagine one day, who shows up on one side? Bill Gates. And who shows up on the other side? Warren Buffett. And they're arguing. We were playing golf one day, and we bet $50, and he won't pay me the $50 because he said, keeping in Masechet Shavuos, a goose flew across the golf course and distracted him, what a bizayon! You have two guys worth that could buy and sell the whole country, and they're arguing over $50. What a disgrace! So it's objectively disgraceful. What do you mean? So this big Talmud Chacham shows up to be an aide in a court case, and he's standing there in front of Wapner, or standing in front of Ed Koch, or whoever else the new judge is, and Ed Koch, Chashev, he was the mayor of New York City, but now he's a caricature. He's standing there pretending to be a judge. You know, like the whole thing is a joke. So everyone's looking, and they're thinking, no, where's the covet in Torah? There is no covet in Torah. If the Gedolei Torah have to be treated like everybody else, where they show up to court in front of the regular dayan, so there's no covet in Torah. And the whole thing is a huge turnoff. Right? Masha Ein Kein, when you see, you know, every book, I'll bet you, I only read two stories in that book that's in the corner over there. Great Noble Lives, Noble Deeds, or whatever, great stuff, or Touched by a Life and a Deed. Right, so there's all the different touch by or whatever. My guess is that most of the stories in that book are about how a big Talmud Chacham acted kilu he wasn't a big Talmud Chacham. Right, my guess is that. Right, so I read one. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz went to a simcha even though he was very old and it was in a lefi chvodo. But this guy used to come to his shmuz, and so he felt it was necessary to go to the guy making a bris milah or something. So he went to the guy's simcha. Right, Baldik. It was Mechabit somebody else. He went and he did something for somebody else. Anytime a Talmud Chacham does something for somebody else, the world views it as a tremendous Kavarat Torah. So the Rambam says, that's called the Fnim Yishur HaSadin. If even though it's beneath your covered, it's beneath your covered. Right? But Lemaisa, this will not be a zilzul to the Kavarat Torah. There's no downside here. When you return something, nobody's going to say, oh, you see, there's no covet in Torah because this guy had to help his friend. Nobody's going to say that. They'll say that, you see how great the Torah is, that this guy is such a big Talmud Chacham, and he's worth it, and everybody gives him so much covet, and afal pi chein, he looked out for somebody else's money. And he schlepped the package even though it was beneath him. Right? Or, like the Rush wants to say, people will say, you see that even though it was beneath his covet, he still made up for it financially so the other guy wouldn't suffer a loss. Right? There's a fellow, he's a Talmud Chacham, more of a Mashkiach type. He is a Mashkiach now, I think. But when he was, I don't want to say names because whatever, a colleague of mine once said that when this Rav was dealing with kids, he used to confiscate things from the kids. If the kid had something inappropriate in camp or in school, so this Rav would confiscate it from him, but he would always pay for it. He would always pay for it. He says, why? Because, and I think it's a very wise decision that this Rav made, he said, because people shouldn't think that the rabbis take away their stuff. They're not machshiv that they have their stuff. So he says, no, this particular item, you're not allowed to have here in this yeshiva or in this camp or whatever it is. But that doesn't mean you should lose money on the deal. Like, I don't want people to think that the rabbis are not machshev their money. They're not machshev that they took away my things. You know, no, go buy other things. Go buy good things. But you shouldn't feel like the whole thing was a financial loss on your behalf. I think that this type of action probably got this Rav a lot of respect. And the kids realized, no, there actually is something objectively wrong with what I was doing. It's not just like rabbis trying to be mean to me. But this is not something they want me to have. I could agree with them, I could disagree with them. But in the end of the day, they respect my stuff. They respect my right to have things. Right? They just didn't want me to have this particular thing. Okay. So that type of attitude from the Hamon Am is, I think, one that the Rambam and the Ritva are very, very, you know, machshiv. And they therefore say, the Ritva says, that not only that, but when it comes to financial things, since a Talmud Chacham will sometimes go out of his way to save his own money, and Ulai, maybe what he means is that's what people will say. Oh, if it would be his own money, he would do it. Meaning not dafka this Talmud Chacham. Not dafka this Talmud Chacham would do it. But they would say, oh, the rabbi thought he was too good to return my lost object. I know a rabbi who wants, you know, who does this to make a living, who does that to make a living. You know, he thinks he's better than Hillel. Hillel was a woodchopper. You know, whatever the case is, people are going to taina that that's not valid, and therefore there is an inyan to go lifnim mishuras hadin. And the Rambam takes it one step further. He says, what are you talking about? That's you're being koveya that that's not beneath your kavod. Lifnim mishuras hadin is when you know for a fact that it's beneath your kavod. Not because of what people will say. The lifnim mishuras hadin is what people will say, and that's called doing the right thing and not being mezalzel in the kavod atar. I think the Rambam and the Ritva understand there's no zilzel here. People will look up to what you're doing. Mashenkin, in the case of the Beis Din, people don't associate going to testify in court with saving other people's money. They just think it's a process that you do. And therefore, there won't be this, you know, this positive vibe that comes from the entire endeavor. And therefore we say that the kavod of the Talmud Chacham mandates that he's not permitted to go and testify under those circumstances. That's what I think is the very simple, non-lumdish explanation of the Rambam and the Ritva. Or at the very least, it's definitely what the Ritva holds, but Lefyani's diet is also what the Rambam holds. Okay. Back to the regularly scheduled program. So we have the summary of the Gemara in Brachos. Yesterday we saw that there were three klalim when it comes to Kavod HaBrios being doche other mitzvahs in the Torah. Rule number one, talking about a mitzvah derabanan. It's a din derabanan. Kavod HaBrios beats a din derabanan. Rule number two is dine mominus, even if it's doraisa. And rule number three, even if it's a regular din doraisa, if it's sheiv al tase, then Kavod HaBrios wins. And if it's kumvase, Kavod HaBrios loses. Seems to be the conclusion of the Gemara. Then we had a machlokes Rashi Tosfos. What about the case of a Nazir being metame himself, or a Kohen being metame himself? So Rashi said over there, that's different. Why is it different? Right, there's no such mitzvah. There's no such mitzvah when it comes to Kavod HaBrios, since there's a Gzeiras HaKasuv, that we learn that you're supposed to be metame yourself under these circumstances. So there's ki'ilu, no such iser to be metame yourself in those cases. It's not a regular din of Kavod HaBrios per se. It's stam gzeiras hakasuv that there's no iser. And Tosfos doesn't like that. Why does Tosfos not like it? Right. So he's saying that no. That then any time is gzeiras hakasuv, which says you don't have to. You could push off the other one. So it's kilu, the other one doesn't exist. But that's not what we find in the rest of Torah. We find that, yes, it does exist, but this one wins. So to here, it does exist, but this one wins. So he has to find a different reason why these cases are different. So he says, in the case of Nazir, it's Nitan L'Sheila, right? We spent time on that yesterday. It's a Din and Hafla. And in the case of Kohen, it's not Shave Lakol. It's not, you know, the percentage of the Jewish population, or Kahanim, is less than, whatever, less than 10%. And therefore, it's not considered as serious of an Isser, and therefore Kavod HaBrios can win. So what comes out according to Tosfos is now we have a new rule that Kavod HaBrios not only can be doche Isurim Doraisa B'sheva Al Taaseh, Kavod HaBrios can be doche Isurim Doraisa that are somehow deemed less chamur. Right? They're somehow a little bit less than a standard Isur Doraisa, even though obviously they're fully us, or a Nazir who violates his Naziris gets Malkus like everybody else, right? And a Kohen who violates his Kahuna gets Malkus like everybody else. But nevertheless, it's not a full Isser that apply that we would apply the regular rules of Kavod HaBrios being pushed aside in its favor. So it could be you're even allowed to violate Kumvasei, Mishum Kavod HaBrios, in those two types of Isurim, and maybe, as we'll see, maybe other similar Isurim as well. Okay. Now let's move back to our Gemara. Our Gemara said that it's mutter for, or perhaps necessary for a Talmud Chacham to avoid going to court and to testify in front of a lesser individual. Frank Tosfos, I'm sorry, but excuse me, one more thing. Except in a case of Isser Veheter. It's male in DNA Mominus, it's Mutter. But in Isser Veheter, it's Aser. Because Ein Chachma, Ein Tvuna, Ein Eitzel, and Neged Hashem, right? Hopefully, you do that Gemara in Brachos, you're very familiar with that quote. It just says it five or six times, I feel like, in that little span of an Amid. Says the quote five or six times, right? So you become very familiar with the concept of Kol Makom Sheish Chilul Hashem in Cholk in Kavod L'Rav. You don't give kavod when there's going to be a Chilul Hashem involved. So therefore, when it comes to Isser V'Heter, you don't do it. Now Rashi says, what Isser are we talking about over here? What Isser are we talking about? Right. Let's say you know that there's a woman who's going to be allowed to get married. Now you are aware of the fact that her husband is still alive. You must go and testify that her husband is still alive. Otherwise, we're going to have major problems when the husband shows up later and he's alive and well. So you say, well, sorry, I couldn't come, but I'm me. Come on. I couldn't make it. You know, it would be embarrassing. So the answer is no. When, if it comes to other people violating Yisurim, so then that's not called Kavod HaBrios is doche. In that case. So ask Tosfos, what do you mean Kavod HaBrios isn't doche in that case? It should be doche in that case because the guy's being b'shev v'al tasa. What's the difference between a guy not going to the Beis HaMikdash to bring the Korban Pesach because he made himself tameh versus this guy not going to Beis Din to testify? It's the same thing. So Tosfos gives two terutzim. Right, let's read them inside. V'yesh lomar dahasam ginai godolhu lemeis mitzvah shein lo kovrim lekach sheval tasa shari. When you talk about the case of the Korban Pesach, you're going to let the body sit there on the ground and rot and get its eyes pecked out by birds, and it's disgusting. That's a terrible disgrace, and therefore we say you have to miss the Korban Pesach, because you're missing it b'shev al taseh in order to bury this mace mitzvah. And he says, Teda, dibikrovim, lo dachi kovet didu pesach umila, because there's no major ganai. Even though, if you would be osek in the mace, you have a mace who's your relative, and you're on your way to shech the Korban Pesach, the Gemara says black on white, you're not allowed to deviate the course. You have to stay the course and go bring the Korban Pesach. It's kovod for the mace for you to bury them? Too bad. It's not a gnai gadol for, you know, everyone's like, oh, you know, his brother wasn't at the funeral. Why? Well, he's going to shecht the Korban Pesach. Pugh, idiot. Like, what a jerk. He didn't come to his brother's funeral because he was shechting Korban Pesach. Okay. So some guy called you a name, you know? But that's not a gnai gadol. It's not a gnai gadol to the dead person. It's not a gnai gadol to you. It would have been nice had you been able to go to the funeral, but it's not a gnai gadol to the person that you didn't go to the funeral. It's understandable. Mashenkin is leaving him out there to rot? That's a huge disgrace. So therefore, Tosfos says, that's when we say, it's doche lo sasesha b'torah, in this case, an asesha b'torah, b'kum b'sheva altasa. Mashenkin, not such a big gnai. Right? What would be examples of not such a big gnai that Tosfos says? Avalach, agave edus, leka gnai kolkach. What's the big disgrace? You showed up and everyone's like, oh, I thought this guy was a really big Talmud Chacham. Why is he showing up in this rinky-dink Beis Din over here? Like, really? Oh my gosh. He's never going to be able to live that one down. No, it's not so bad. It's not so bad. V'lo shari b'yisura v'shev al tasa. So that we're not going to allow. We'll allow it in case of dini mamonis. We're not going to allow it in the case of iser, unless even if it's shev al tasa. And he says, similarly, the case of Ashavas Aveda, is it the world's biggest kenai to return a lost object, even though you're a little embarrassed to be carrying this thing through the streets? It's not so bad. Right? So he says, and then he has a side point here, which is very important in Tosfos. He says, "V'ava matzi l'shnuye sheval tase k'in mishani basar hachi." Says Ein Achinami, in this case, where what's Tosfos asking again? He says, "V'ava matzi l'shnuye." One second, closing in the parich. V'asam nami the parich mimotzu sak v'kupa mikol shkein parich. V'ava matzi l'shnuye. They could have answered by the case of Ashavas Avedim, the Gemara in Brachos. They could have answered there sheval tase. You can't learn out from the case of Ashavas Aveda to other cases. What did they answer instead? They answered, we don't learn out Mammon from Isser. We don't learn Isser from Mammon. Whatever. But instead, they could have answered, it's Shev Al Tase. Right? Ela Deshaper Mishani, Shiny Mammon, Disyoiv L'Mechila. It was a better answer to say, you can't learn out other cases from this, because this is Dinei Mammonis, and Mammon is something which is Nitin L'Mechila, and therefore, you could be more lenient with Mammon. In other words, why does the Gemara give that answer? Because that's a better answer to show you that Mammon is on a lower level even than Isser Veheter B'Shei Baal Tasa. So that's why the Gemara gives that answer. But Uad Nami, you could have knocked out the Kasha with a bigger answer, but it wouldn't have been the better answer. Sometimes the smaller answer is better because you learn more. You don't have any wiggle room in the middle. So if you would have knocked it out with a bigger answer, like Lamushel, if you have a an ant problem. You want to spray some pesticides on the ants. So do you use this huge, canister of insecticide, or do you just you could buy a little spray bottle at the supermarket and you can just spray the ants. So if you set off what they call a bug bomb, you set off a huge thing that's going to fumigate the whole house, it'll work, but you didn't really learn much about how seriously you have to take this. So if you use a little spray bottle, you'll knock out the ants just as well as if you use the huge thing. And now you know that every time I see some ants, I don't need to go buy this huge bug bomb, to knock them out. I know that this little spray bottle will knock out the ants. So who had the nami here? We gave the better teretz in Gemara and Brachos because we wanted to show that when it comes to mammon, we're more lenient. All you need is this idea that we don't learn out mammon from Isser from mammon. And we know that even when it comes to mammon, you can be makel even if it's not a big gnai. And then we save the big gun for later, where we say Shev Al Tase versus Kum Va'aseh, which is necessary when it comes to actual Isser V'Heter. But that has to be a Gnai Gadol, not a Gnai Katan. That's Tosfos' Chiddush over here. We're mechalik between different levels of Gnai. And then answer number two, Od Yesh Lomar, Dekesha Osin Isser Al Yado, Lo Mikre Shev Al Tase. So he says, if because of you they're going to be violating an avera, that's also called sheva. That's also called kumva aseh. Meaning, yes, for you it's sheva al taseh to sit there and do nothing, but for the person who's violating the avera, it's kumva aseh. So you don't get to be b'sheva al taseh when they're going to violate avera b'kumva aseh. We look at it from an entire klal perspective. We don't just look at it from a minority perspective of you and your actions. We look at it in a general perspective of the whole big picture. And he says, right. So he says that's why Rashi comes along and explains that this is the case. Why can't there be other cases? The answer is, we want it to be a case where someone else is going to be violating an avera b'kumvase. So Tosfos seems to be understanding that Rashi learns like the second teretz. Rashi should be learning like the second teretz based on the way he explains the case. But Rashi accepts that we're talking about where someone else is doing an Avera, Bikum Vase. That is the two, those are the two answers of Tosfos. The Rambam in Hilchos Kilayim, he gets involved with this question as well. And the Rambam, I didn't see people who talk about this, and that leads me to believe that perhaps my analysis is incorrect, but I think it's worth pointing it out regardless, because I don't know what order anything's in. Okay, so the Rambam in Perek Yud Halacha Chaf Tes of Hilchos Kilayim, he writes, Haroa Kilayim Shel Torah Al Chaveru. So first of all and foremost, he fulfills Tanai number one. Has to be an Isser Doraisa. If it would be an Isser Derabanan, then we would say Kavod Abrius wins, as he'll say in the end of the Halacha. Right? You see a guy wearing Kilayim Doraisa. He's wearing real shatnas. Afilo yamalach b'shuk, kofetz lo. You got to jump him. The koro alav miyad. Rip it off of him immediately. Vafilo yarabo shalom duchachma. Even if it was your rebbe, right? Medayik from the lashon ain cholkin kavod l'rav, right? So he says makom sheish cholash ain cholkin kavod l'rav. Even your rebbe, shein kavod abrius docha iser lo to say I'm a furish b'torah. What does he say so far? Kavod abrius does not push aside a lo to say in the Torah. That's mafurish. Rule number two, right? Not in order, but rule number two, that dine mamanis, kavod abrius wins. So hashav aveda, you can rely on kavod abrius. V'lama nidche betumas mace. Why is a coin allowed to become tame for a mace mitzvah or etc. The other cases. Ho l'par akosav l'achoso, because it says exeris akosav of achoso. That's a very interesting statement, says the Rambam. In any case, Kavod Abrius beats an Isser Derabbanan. Right? We're going to talk about, at the end of the week, we'll try to do a more global discussion of Kavod Abrius, where we'll talk about whether or not Kavod Abrius is, are we allowed to just then apply this with very broad brushstrokes, or do we have to limit ourselves to the cases that we find in the Gemara, or in the cases of the Rishonim, right? Did the Rishonim have some indicator of what's what, or was it, can you paint a little bit of a broader picture and you just say, yeah, that seems like a violation of Kavod Abrius, only Nisr Derabanan, all right, mutter, right? Are we allowed to do that? So it seems from the Rambam's Lashon that you can be pretty creative whenever you want to talk about whether Kavod Abrius is going to be Dochen Isser Derabbanan. V'yavo, b'shekazda b'torah lo sasser min adavar. All right, then he says that it's all based on lo sasser. Still, it doesn't matter. And therefore he says, if it's only Kilayim and Divrayim, you let him get home and then you tell him. V'mayishel Torah poshtam yad. But if it was an Isser Derabbanan, you got to take it off right away. What did the Rambam leave out? What did the Rambam leave out from the list? Yeah. He didn't mention Sheva al Tasa. So it's possible that I'm missing the boat here, and there's another Rambam where he says Sheva al Tasa versus Kumbase. I haven't found it. Doesn't mean it's not there. It just means I haven't found it. And I also want to point out that nobody cares. When it comes to this Rambam, all the Achronim assume he makes the same chilek as everybody else. But, at least in that halacha, I only know one halacha in the Rambam today, or the other ones too. But in that halacha, the Rambam does not differentiate between Kumbase and Sheva al Tasa. And I think if you keep that in mind, it'll explain a lot of different things that they see throughout the Rambam. But between the Noda Bihuda and the Stipler and the Shagas Aryeh and many other Gedolei Achronim, I think the Pri Yitzchak has a big tshuva on this. I haven't seen it recently. Laisa, I think they all assume the Rambam is mechalik the same way as everybody else between Kumbasa and Shematasa. Happens to be. He doesn't say it. Happens to be he doesn't say it. And it was reminiscent of something that you guys probably know from this year, if you guys learned Sanhedrin this year. So we have the Gemara in Perek Mensora Mora, where we're talking about the Yehurig Valyavar Sugyas, right? So what's the big kasha that gets Tosfos going, right? There's Tosfos in a couple places. I don't know, more than once in my life, I was in Yeshiva in Keren B'Yavne, we did this, and then again in DRS we did it, I think, that we did Sanhedrin back-to-back with Ksuvis. So we ended up, and like, we always do that Tosfos, and we always do Ben Sora Mor at the end of the year, and then you do the early Gemaras and Ksuvis at the beginning of the year. So you always end up doing that Tosfos twice within a few months span. You always do that because you have the same, you have a parallel Tosfos in the very beginning of Maseches Ksuvis and at the very, in the end of the fun sugyas in Ben Sora Mor. So they have the Tosfos, Vaha Esther Farhesya, right? So you have the question, the Gemara says over there, that wasn't Esther in violation of an Issur D'oraisa before Hesya. So what did the Gemara say? You guys know this Gemara? Raise your hand if you don't know the Gemara. You don't.
No.
Do or don't? Raise your hand if you don't. Okay, very quickly, the Gemara says, you're not allowed, we're a small group. If one guy doesn't know, we can still explain. Okay, so the Gemara says, there are three cardinal sins that you have to give up your life rather than violate them. Right? Gilei Arayah, Shvichas Dam, Avodah Zarah. Right? And Sinas Chinam, as we spoke about the other day. Right? So there's three cardinal sins you have to give up your life for. Right? And then the Gemara says, that's true even in private. But what about in public? In public, you have to give up your life for any sin. Even because of Chil Hashem. So therefore, it's Yehari V'Yav. Some guy tells you to be Mechal Shabbos in public, you have to give up your life rather than violate the Shabbos if it's in front of 10 Jews, right? That's called in public. And then, Frek the Gemara, Baha Esther Fares, you have Esther, our hero, right? She was in violation of an Aveira in public. All the Jews knew she was Jewish. So Gemara gives a weird answer. Esther Karka Olam. Esther was Karka Olam. She was passive. And therefore, you're allowed to be passive in those circumstances. Ask Tosfos in that Gemara, big Tosfos. He says, wait a minute. I have a much better kasha. Esther was in public? Esther was violating Gilei Arayos. She was a married woman. Who was her husband?
Mordechai.
Right? How do we know that she was married to Mordechai? Right? We have a drasha. The Gemara Megillah quotes it, I think. I think it's the Gemara Megillah. Right? So it says that, Asher lo kach lo labas. Right, al tikrei bas ela bias. Right, doesn't mean that she was dafka his daughter. She was his wife, and that's what it means. Kasher avarti avarti. That up until this point, I've been forced to have relations with Achashverosh. But now you're telling me to go to him willingly. Now I'm going to be usher to you forever. So that's the Tosfos. Okay, so the simple answer to the whole question, and I think the Ritva points this out. I don't remember who points this out. No, they weren't married. Okay, so there we go. That's the Gemara. Even if you say the Gemara in Megillah says they were married, the Gemara said it is they weren't married. That's why they asked you a different kasha. Okay, but Lamaisa, the Tosfos takes that medrash very seriously. Ad kadei kach that were mechadish halachos based on it, and nevertheless, he says that how could it be mutter? So Rabbi Natan gives a teretz. There's no gilei arayos by a goy. It's not called gilei arayos. It's not the yeshivish thing to do, but it's still not an Isser of Gilei Arayos. It's not Yerig Val Yavor, and therefore, and there's no Isser Labal, Isser Laboel, and it's fine. That's Rabbein Tam's teretz. The Rivam gives different teretz. He says, no! The Gemara took it as a davar pashut, that the Svara of Karka Olam works for Gilei Arayos. Meaning, if someone says to you, commit Gilei Arayos or I will kill you. And you're a woman. That's important. And you're a woman. You are allowed to just be passive and allow the person to have their way with you and not give up your life. The Rivam says, the Gemara knew that as a davar pashut. The only shaila is, does that work for the Chilul Hashem also? And then the Gemara answers, yeah, the taka works for the Chilul Hashem also. That's how the Rivam reads the Gemara. And Tosa says, Rivam says, how do we know? How do we know that that's true? Because the Gemara learns Gili Arayos from Shvichas Damim. Right? Says by Nara Murasa, it's a weird lashon. The pasuk says Lenara lo sasa davar ein Lenara chet mavis. Right? It says if the woman is raped, you kill the guy. If it's a married woman, guy rapes a married woman, you kill him, and don't do anything to the woman. Ein Lenara chet mavis. She didn't do anything which is deserving of death. Ki kasher yakum ishal reo ritzachol nevesh kena davar azeh. Right? This case is just like a case if someone gets up there and kills his friend. That's what the pasuk says. Wow, thanks for that, Torah. Right? What an enlightening mashal. So you're telling me a woman being raped, she's a victim, and it's similar to when someone gets murdered, you don't punish the victim. So just like you don't punish the murder victim, you don't punish the rape victim. Shkoyach. Right? Very helpful, right? It's not so helpful. Not necessary. So explains the Gemara, that extra phrase in the pasuk is to be makish, to create a hekish between Shvichas Damim, that whatever the halacha is by Shvichas Damim, so too the halacha will be by Naru Marasa, by raping a married woman. With me so far? And then so then the Gemara asks, how do I even know that Shvichas Damim is also Yaharig Val Yavor? How do I know that? It's a svara, right? The famous svara of my chazis. What does the Gemara actually say? Mi Yemar. I don't know why. It's for some reason, this is one of my 10 billion pet peeves. I don't know why. The Rishonim already call it my chazis. It's not anyone's fault that they say my chazis. It's officially known as my chazis. But the Gemara actually says, Mi Yemar de Dama Didach Sumak Tvei, Dilma Dama Dahu Gavra Sumak Tvei. Right? Who says that your blood is redder than his blood? Maybe his blood is redder than your blood. So whatever that svar is, the reason you're not allowed to kill someone else to save your own life, so too, by Naru Marasa, you're not allowed to commit Gili Arayos to save your life. So says the Rivam, based on all of this, what's the idea? So it's just like when it comes to murder. So we tell you, who says you're allowed to kill someone else to save your life? But there's a reverse svara also. What's the reverse? Who says you have to be killed to save that guy's life? So says Rivam. So what do? You just stand there. You say, listen, buddy, I can't kill this guy. I just have to stand there. And then most of the time, just standing there is code for he kills you. Right? But, says the Rivam, let's say there's the following case. The guy says, you don't need to, the whole idea here is that we want to kill this guy, but we want it to look like an accident. So you're on a balcony, and there's going to be, the guy is in a hotel, and he's sitting by the pool, and he's lounging on a lounge chair. We're going to put you up on a balcony, we're just going to push you off the balcony, you're going to land smack on top of this guy, kill him. Right? So says the Rivam, that's mutter. That's mutter. You should do that. Why? Because you're not doing anything. Meaning, for you to give up your life at that point would be doing the wrong thing. The whole idea is you're b'sheva al tasa. You're doing nothing. You're not doing anything. You're standing there. So the guy pushes you off. You also did nothing. Right? So therefore, in a case, just like in the case of Naru Marasa, she's allowed to be passive, so too in the case of Ritzicha, you could kill someone passively. That is the Shita of the Rivam. In the Rambam, we don't find this Chilik. In the Rambam, we don't find this Chilik. And who talks about this? You guys are all going to be kicked out of YU. Who talks about this? It's the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer. It's the first Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. It's the only Reb Chaim in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, I think. It's the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer. You're all officially expelled from Reitz or wherever you are. So, So the so Reb Chaim talks about why doesn't the Rambam make this chiluk? L'chor, it's a great chiluk. So okay, so for homework, check out the Reb Chaim. It's not a big piece at all. But Reb Chaim basically says that the Rambam is not looking at it as Isser Ritzicha versus Isser Ritzicha. You don't know what to do with yourself. That's not how he looks at it. He says that's one way to look at it. You have murder of the victim, murder of me, therefore murder versus murder, it's equal. Right? He says the Rambam doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it as Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh. First he throws out the whole thing. He says, first of all, being used as a baseball bat. If some guy says, stand there, I'm going to grab your ankles and I'm going to whack somebody with you, that doesn't count as anything. He says, you're definitely, and everybody would hold that that's mutter for a totally unrelated reason. That doesn't count as anything. But then he says, even so, the Rambam wouldn't be mater it now. He says, why? If you could draw such a case, the Rambam wouldn't be mater it. He says, because he doesn't look at it as murder versus murder. He looks at it as isser versus isser. There's a din pikuach nefesh to save this guy's life, and there's a din pikuach nefesh to save my life. So who says that my pikuach nefesh beats his pikuach nefesh? You hear? Who says? So Mamela, if I let them push me on top of him, my pikuach nefesh is beating his pikuach nefesh. That's not allowed. Because that's the whole idea. I'm not really a murderer, but there's still a din ritzicha here. Once there's a din ritzicha, that's called you let your pikuach nefesh overturn his pikuach nefesh, and you were part of the ritzicha. And therefore you're not allowed. That's how he learns the Rambam. The Fianiyas Daiti, you could say the same thing here. What do I mean? The Rambam's not mechalek between kumvase and sheva al tase when it comes to certain isurim. Why? Because he doesn't look at it as maisa versus non-maisa. He doesn't look at it as act versus act. He looks at it as din versus din. You understand? So there's a din of kavod abrios. There's a din d'oraisa. If you're going to be in violation of the din d'oraisa, you're not allowed. You're doing it b'shev al taseh. We don't care how you're doing it. We just care that the din of kavod abrios doesn't beat the din of an iser d'oraisa or an aseh d'oraisa. And therefore, it's never going to work that kavod abrios beats a din d'oraisa. It only works that kavod abrios beats din emamanus. And it beats dinam derabanan. It doesn't beat a din d'oraisa, except when there's a gzeiras hakasev that says it. So the Rambam is really similar to, The Rambam is basically l'shitaso from the case of Yehareg Valyavor. That he's saying that it's not the maisa versus non-maisa. It's din versus din. The Gemara is against the Rambam. It's not so pasha that the Gemara is against the Rambam. So, first of all, not that it's a contest, but this Gemara is less against the Rambam than that Gemara in Zvachim was against the Ramban. Right? The Gemara in Zvachim, which said that yeshiva makes you pasul edus, that was against the Rambam and the Ramban and everybody else. That was way bigger of a riot against them, and they didn't seem to care. Why didn't they care over there? Because they say, we're just making pirchas over there to show why we can't learn out of Kal V'chomer one to the other. So you could give the same teretz over here in honor of the Rambam. Meaning, what is it? What do we have over there? It says in the Torah, Ulachoso. It says in the Torah that you're on your way to Shech the Karban Pesach, and you have a Meis Mitzvah. So you should do the Meis Mitzvah and not bring the Karban Pesach. Once we say that kavod abrios is docha even a din d'oraisa, so we're going to answer, so kol haTorah kula kavod abrios should be docha din d'oraisa. That gzeiras hakasev should teach us in the whole Torah that kavod abrios beats a din d'oraisa. No, sheva al taseh. What's the answer? Sheva al taseh. That only kavod abrios beats a din d'oraisa, sheva al taseh? No, the reason we can't learn to kol haTorah kula is because it would be a pircha. That gzeiras hakasev is only a case of sheva al taseh. That doesn't necessarily mean that we now learn it out to all cases of Sheva Altasa. It just means we can't make a binyanav from that limud in the Gemara for Kol Tara Kula. It doesn't mean that that's the new geder of Kavod Abrius is that it beats a Doraisa and Sheva Altasa. So Again, I'd rather learn the Gemara the other way. But once the Rambam doesn't seem to be machali between Kumar Asay and Sheval Dazai, Lachari, you can say that's how he reads the Gemara. Okay, that's all right. So that's enough for now. I think I would like this afternoon, if possible, maybe just give a short shiur. You don't have to come, but maybe we'll have a short shiur on. And I was thinking about giving it this morning since I thought davening was going to be early. So I was saying we're going to have extra 20 minutes. I was like, oh, I'll give a shiur on in Yane Kaddish. So at some point, maybe between 4:30 and 4:45, maybe I'll have a shiur for about a half hour. It might end up being more than one part of a series. If anybody's interested in Yanei Kaddish, it doesn't have to be standing over here. It could just be over there if anybody wants to sit down and learn some in Yanei Kaddish. It could be a nice...
I'll see you guys also.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay.